हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे। नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम, हरे हरे। So, yeah, yesterday we were discussing this, that Vidura met Uddhava, isn't it? Vidura met Uddhava in Vrindavanam. So, what did Uddhava say to Vidura? Uddhava was saying to Vidura that Krishna has done a great favor to me. Favor in the sense of mercy he has shown to me. Kripa. That's what it means. Kripa. He has shown a great kripa to me. So Uddhava says this to Vidura. So Vidura wanted to know, because when Vidura saw Uddhava, why I am bringing this story here is that all this inquiry that goes on in everyone's heart, what is that inquiry? Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. That is that inquiry in everyone's heart. All these great personalities, Vidura, Uddhava, all of them, they were wandering around on this planet with this one question, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. They didn't want to get an answer for the question. Like Arjuna asked the question to Krishna, isn't it? Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. It's a very important question. And it is this same question going through in the hearts of Vidura, in the heart of Uddhava, in the heart of all the acharyas, in the all the heart of all the great personalities who are seeking the truth. This is the same question that is burning inside. Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. So our Vidura, when we left home, that is Hastinapuram, and then he went on this pilgrimage, he is also asking the same question, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. They do not want the answer. What they want is, they want to experience it. They don't want the answer from somebody. Just like Krishna gave the answer to Arjuna, isn't it? When that process, Arjuna also wanted to experience that later, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. So when Vidura asked this question to Uddhava, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavadam, if you look, that Krishna has found something worthwhile talking to Uddhava about this knowledge of self-realization, Siddha Pratnyatvam. It's called Siddha Pratnyatvam. So, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava. Arjuna asked Krishna. Vidura has been wandering around throughout the country asking the same question, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. Uddhava asked Krishna also the same question, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha. Uddhava got the answer, Uddhava experienced it from hearing from Krishna. That is what has happened in the Ekadasha Skandam. Uddhava experienced Siddha Pratnyatvam after hearing from Krishna. And Nodhavo Anu Abhimanyunam, it says there. Sukadeva Goswami says that Krishna has said that Uddhava is not even a little different from me. Krishna is saying this about Uddhava. No dhavom abhimanyunam. Uddhava is not at all different from me. Why? Because after hearing Ekadasham, Krishna understood that Uddhava has also come to the same realizations. What he expected him to have. No dhavom abhimanyunam. And that is why he says to Uddhava, Tvam tu bhagavadeshu aham, that among the devotees, I am Uddhava. Krishna says that, isn't it? Tvam tu bhagavadeshu aham. So Krishna is wanted devotees to come and experience this Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. So Siddha Prajnatvam, or everyone in the spiritual life is actually following this route, Siddha Prajnatvam. We are also asking the same question, although we are in a very, very early primary level. The question why that is bothering us inside is, what is that state? We also want to get to that state, isn't it? Siddha Prajnatvam. We want to experience that. Acharya Swamiji went from Kaladi all the way to Narmada River asking the same question, Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. Ramanujacharya went from Kanchipuram to Srirangam walking all the way asking the same question, Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over southern India only with the same question, Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. They are not asking for the question, looking for the answer. They want to experience it. That's Siddha Prajna state. So all the great acharyas, all the great devotees, all of them have this one inside question. To Mahatmas, great personalities, for them, they do not think in terms of the body. Like most of us, we think we will die one day, isn't it? We are going to die one day. We are conscious of the death to some extent. Sometimes we say also, maybe another 10-20 years I have to manage in this world. After that, I am finished with this. Some thought like that will often come through. We speak in that way. But the great Mahatma, great souls, they don't think in that way. They already know that body is not a reality. So therefore, they want to be always in their Siddha Prajna state. Because for them, that is very real. That Siddha Prajna state is very, very real. So when Krishna saw Uddhava's genuine inquiry in the Bhagavadam, and Uddhava had no interest whatsoever in anything related to the body, Krishna was very pleased. And Krishna understood that this is one person to whom it is worthwhile talking to. And that is why he mentioned this to Uddhava. He mentions this to Uddhava. Nathadame priyatama atma yonirna shangara naja sangarshana shre naiva atma jayatha bhavan. There is a the certificate from Krishna to Uddhava. Na tathame priyatama. There is no one dear to me like you. Na tathame priyatama atma yonirna shangara. Atma yoni is Lord Brahma. He has come from Krishna directly, isn't it? So Brahma is not so dear to me, Krishna says. Na shangara, Lord Shiva is not so dear to me. Naja sangarshanam na shri naiva atma jayatha bhavan. Naja sangarshanam. Sangarshan is Lord Balaram. He is not so dear to me. Na shri, not even Mahalashmi. Naiva atma jayatha bhavan. Then, like you, none of them are as dear to me. None of these personalities are dear to me like you. So what made Krishna to say this to Uddhava? The reason was seeing Uddhava's inquiry, Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. Ekadasham is Uddhava's Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha question. Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna's question, Siddha Prajna Siga Bhasha. So all the great, great devotees, great jnanis, all the personalities who are in spiritual path, they are only wants to experience this sthita prajnatvam. Therefore, in order to experience that, they leave home, they walk away to other places, meeting other great souls, other personalities, and in that process they experience this sthita prajnatvam, sthita prajna sikha bhasha. So we were saying this yesterday, that the that Uddhava mentioned this to Vidura, that this is the greatest misfortune of this world, he said. That one who is such a full sthita prajnatvam, that is Krishna, referring to him, he was present in this world. Uddhava says, I can understand Kamsa, Shishubala, Dandavatra, and Jarasandha. All these people did not understand Krishna, which I can understand, he said. But these people like Yadavas, who stayed with him, who considered Krishna as their own family member, they also did not understand him. They did not understand him. Because none of them asked this question to Krishna. That is Uddhava's regret. Uddhava was saying, did any of these Yadavas ask Krishna about self-realization? None of them asked this question. They all thought that he is our family member, and instead of taking this great gift what Uddhava got from Krishna, Uddhava felt very sorry for them, that in spite of their closest association, not one of them had the interest to find out from Krishna sthita prajna sikha bhasha. They never got it from him. That was Uddhava's lamentation about this. So Vidura also, he wandered around the whole world and eventually arrived in Haridwar, and he is asking Maitreya Maharshi the same question, sthita prajna sikha bhasha. So the answer to that is that 120 years Uddhava has waited before he asked this question. Uddhava didn't ask this question from the beginning. This question is asked after 120 years association with Krishna. Not to get the answer, but to want to experience it. Anubhuti. It's what's called Anubhuti. So, inquiry is such that you can see in the Bhagavadam, in the third canto, when we were reading this yesterday also, that the the question, the language may be little different, but the content or the message what Vidura wanted to ask Maitreya Maharshi is exactly the same what Uddhava has what Krishna, Arjuna has asked Krishna here. Shri Shukava Jam Dwaridunadyam Krishabakurunam Maitreyam Asinamakhadabodam Kshetto Abhisrata Chila Bhava Shuddham Papracha Saushi Leguna Pitraptaha. Sudeva Goswami is saying there that Vidura came to Maitreya Maharshi, and by his humble respectful way, when he asked this question, the highly realized soul and who lives in Haridwar, Maitreya Maharshi, was happy to answer that question. Chatto avasrita achyuta bhava shuddha achyuta bhava shuddham papracha saushilya guna abhitraptaha. So that is the dvaridunadyam shabakurunam, that Vidura Maharshi, Vidura, who is achyuta bhava shuddham. Achyuta bhava shuddham means that constant remembrance of Krishna. And this inquiry inside, even while in this world, Vidura's inquiry was this, sthita prajna sikha bhasha. So Vidura asked this question. Remember yesterday we talked, suhaya karmani karodi loko natai sugam va anudubaravam va vindeda bhuyastadam eva dukkam yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. Suhaya karmani karodi loko, that people are engaged in different activities, karma is performed to become happy, but natai sugam va anyadubaravam va, they never become happy. On the other hand, they are not even able to alleviate even their distress, what they have got. അന്യത് ഉപാരമം വാ വിന്ദേത ഭൂയസ്തത ഏവ ദുഃഖം. വാട്ട് എൽസ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ടു ദം? ദ ദുഃഖം, ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഈസ് അഗെയിൻ അഗെയിൻ കമ്മിങ് ടു ദം. ആൻഡ് യത് അത്ര യുക്തം ഭഗവാൻ വദേന്ന, പ്ലീസ് ടെൽ മീ വാട്ട് ഐ ഷുഡ് ഡു ഇൻ ദിസ് സിറ്റുവേഷൻ. ദിസ് വാസ് വിദുരസ് എൻക്വയറി. ആഫ്റ്റർ സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വിദുര ഈസ് സെയിങ് ജനസ്യ കൃഷ്ണാൽ വിമുഖസ്യ ഹേതോ വിമുഖസ്യ ദൈവാൽ അധർമ്മശീലസ്യ സുദുഃഖിതസ്യ അനുഗ്രഹായേഹ ചരന്തി നൂനം ഭൂതാനി ഭവ്യാനി ജനാർദ്ദനസ്യ. വൈ ഉദ്ധവ, സോറി വിദുരാസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ടു മൈത്രേയ മഹർഷി ഈസ് ദിസ്: വൈ ഡു പീപ്പിൾ നോട്ട് വർഷിപ്പ് കൃഷ്ണ? വൈ ഡു പീപ്പിൾ നോട്ട് വർഷിപ്പ് കൃഷ്ണ? ആൻഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദേ ഹാവ് ബിക്കം, ദേ ഹാവ് ലോസ്റ്റ് ദെയർ ധർമ്മം, അധർമ്മശീലം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദേ ഹാവ് ബിക്കം ഡീവിയേറ്റഡ് ഫ്രം ദി ധാർമ്മിക് വേ ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. ആൻഡ് ദ റിസൾട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ദേ ആർ ഇൻ ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ്. And Krishna is anugrahayeha charanti noonam bhutani bhavyani janardanasyam janardanasyam. That Krishna is in this world only to bless those who are searching for the truth, who are inquiring after the truth. Then the question is karodi karmani kradavadaro yani almadandro bhagavam tradisha യഥാ സസർജാഗ്രം ഇതം നിരീഹ സംസ്ഥാപ്യ വൃത്തിം ജഗതോ വിധത്തെ. ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് എവർ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് പെർഫോംഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, പ്ലീസ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദം ടു അസ്, ബിക്കോസ് ബൈ വാട്ട് പ്രോസസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ വിൽ പീപ്പിൾ ഹാവ് ആത്മസാക്ഷാത്കാരം? ആത്മസാക്ഷാത്കാരം മീൻസ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ദം. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് നോളജ് ഫ്രം ദി വേദസ് which reveals this realization to us, that process please explain to us. This is how Vidura's conversation goes with Maitreya Maharshi. So you can see here, Vidura is also asking Maitreya Maharshi, explain to us that process by which that happiness, or sthita prajnatvam is that happiness, anandam what he is referring to, spiritual realization will come to us from the knowledge of the soul. So siddha prajnasya ka bhasha, the same question is asked by everyone. So here as we discussed yesterday, that we are also doing the same thing. Only thing is, we may not be following exactly the route, like they are much more on fire, who Vidura, Maitreya, and personalities like Uddhava, great acharyas, they are completely on that level, in the sense that they have no other concern in this world. Therefore, they are on a much higher level, the inquiry is going on. But anybody who has come to spiritual life, he also has the same thoughts going through inside, isn't it? That where will I find this? What is the meaning of all this life? Isn't it? What is this life here in this world? We have come here, we have got a body, and why I am here, what is my business here? All these questions, every minute, is coming up inside. What do we supposed to do here? What is our business here? This question is there in everybody. In between, for the sake of maintaining the body, we have to perform certain activities, and we get involved in family life and all that. But that is another thing. But behind all these things, this question does come back to us, isn't it? This question comes to everybody. Not that we are completely blind. Unless someone is so much absorbed in sense gratification, this question will come to anyone. So here, we will see here that our inquiry has started also like this. When we were in the womb of the mother, we were thinking, wondering, what are we here for? Why am I here? So that is discussed in the third canto, why we got into the womb of the mother. And what happens there, all that is discussed in the third canto. That's why third canto is very important, for this reason. That is, when did this inquiry start? It started from the womb itself. Why am I here? What am I doing here? Why did I get here? All these questions. When we came out from there, again the same question. So how to become happy? How to become happy? And then we kept on asking different things. Parents gave us toys to play with, played for some time, threw it away. this is not the one I'm looking for. Grew up and little boy or a girl, played with others and tried to find happiness there, didn't find it. Left that also. This is not what I'm looking for. Grew up and we came to our youth, got married, found work in this world or business or whatever it is, and tried to become happy. After a while he started realizing this is not what I'm looking for. And eventually in the same way, family life developed, children came, and thinking that if there are children in the family, life will be happier. And we live, try to become happy in the through the family life. That also we found, this is not what I'm looking for. So this inquiry is going through all our mind in a very subtle level. We are not conscious of that. That's all it is. We are not conscious of this. But factually, this is the same question everyone who is seeking the truth is looking for. Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha. That what is that state I have to reach where I will get this Siddha Prajnatvam, where I do not get carried away by all the tosses or the waves of the material nature. So, and what's happening is, that is what the Upanishads are saying there, that we are looking and finding something, not this, not this, not this. This is not what I wanted. Neti, 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 as they say. This is not what I am looking for. That it is, that's where Krishna says there, that the real happiness, what we are searching after, is not through the mind, not through the senses. Till we come to the point of self-realization and looking at from the soul, from the spiritual realization or the spiritual happiness, till that point we will not stop this inquiry. The inquiry will carry on. Inquiry will carry on throughout life. That's Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha. Krishna is saying there that only at the point when it comes to Atmanatushta, that when you have come to that perfection in spiritual life, that you have realized that what the truth is, that I am the soul, only then you will be satisfied. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. Tushta means you are satisfied with that. Then there is no more questions after that. So the answer here is that the idea is not that I am going to become God. That's not the point. The realization is that there is nothing else except God. That is the existence, that is the realization. What exists is only Krishna. So up to that point, Krishna says, at the moment we are in the realization that in the form of false ego, I am performing so many activities in this world. Then ultimately when we come to this point, that the proper understanding or spiritual realization happens, at that point Bhagavat Tattvam or Chitsvarupam, our proper identity, is revealed to us, and then we get satisfied with that. We have no more inquiry after that. So that is why when Krishna answered that question from Arjuna, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, first thing Krishna said was Almanya Valmana Tushta. Prajahadi Yadakaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Almanyeva Almana Tushta. That is the point where one stops this inquiry. Inquiry won't stop till until we reach that point. Once it so happened that there was one sannyasi living in a ashram, and one lady came up to him and said to her that I am in great distress. My husband is a drunkard. He drinks so much heavily every day, and then he comes and creates fights at home, and I don't know what to do. My life is completely ruined by this activity from the husband. So the sannyasi told her, I will give you a mantra upadesham, instructions to chant a particular mantra. You chant this mantra regularly, and by your effort, he should get change. He should change. By your practicing this mantra regularly and chanting this mantra seriously, and in course of time, he will change. Apparently, 12 years she chanted this mantra, what was given to her by the sannyasi. And sannyasi told her, bring him here one day. She was asking him to come to the ashram, he won't go. He won't go. He just wanted to continue with his life the way he lived throughout life. So eventually one day something happened to him to go to the ashram to see the sannyasi, because the wife was pestering him all the time, go to the ashram and see the sannyasi, maybe you will get out of this problem what you have got. He was saying, I have no problem, what's my problem? I'm living my life happily, where's the problem? He says, so the wife says to the husband, then you look at the sannyasi, sannyasi also seems to be very happy like you, he also doesn't have any problems. Oh, then he must also be drinking something like me, or I'm drinking, he says. So anyway, he agreed to go with her one day, and when they got to the ashram, there was kirtanam going on, the chanting the holy name was going on, and everyone was in terribly ecstasy, ecstatic mood at that time. So when he saw the sannyasi, the wife told him that, look at that sannyasi, he's also very happy like you, he said. So this man goes to the sannyasi and asks him, what are you having, drinking? You drinking the local stuff or you drinking the imported one? This was his question to him. So the sannyasi understood, this person only knows these two things, local one or the indigenous one or the imported one. You know, in India they have this locally brewed alcohol, and this is drunk by the poor people, and the upper class drinks the imported one from Scotland or whatever, wherever it's coming from. So generally in the society, the local people are looked down because they are drinking the local stuff. The ones who are drinking the upper class ones, the imported, although they are doing the same job, that's not taken into account. If it is imported, it seems to be acceptable in the society. And that's what's going on now with all the rich people and so many families, they get ruined by this habit. So anyway, this man asked the sannyasi, are you drinking the local stuff or the imported stuff? The sannyasi said, I drink the local one, he said. So, but this local one, is this one difference? Once you take this local one, you will never stop in your ecstasy. He says, you experience the whole life the same thing. So this person wanted to taste that. And just through that association with the sannyasi, he eventually gave up his drinking. He eventually gave up his drinking and stayed there in the ashram for a very long period of time in his life. So once the spiritual experience, although we may joke about this in the way it is like this, but fact is that once we come to spiritual experience something on a spiritual level, Krishna is also saying that it will bring happiness and satisfaction inside. Almanyeva, almanatushta. So this happiness is andarigam. Andarigam means inward. It is inside, not outside. All other happiness we experience from outside, but it is inwardly. So that's why it is called here, it is mentioned here, that this happiness that comes little by little inside. Swadu swadu pade pade. In the Bhagavadam, that is what it is mentioned. What Bhagavadam discusses there, what Bhagavad Gita says here, it's all the same thing, one and the same thing, spoken in different ways. In the Srimad Bhagavadam, it says swadu swadu pade pade. That means the self-realization is such that it happens little by little, step by step, and once you started tasting it, then you won't give it up. You won't give it up, the experience of the soul. In the Bhagavadam, when they begins this, Nikamakalpadarorgalidam phalam Shugamukhadamrdadravasamyudam Pipada Bhagavadam Resamalayam Muhurahorasigabhuvibhavugaha. That here, Vedavyas is saying, Nikamakalpadarorgalidam phalam. This spiritual realization is that phalam, the fruit of that kalpavraksham. What is that kalpavraksham? Vedam. Vedam nigamam agamam nigamam. Vedam agna, the Vedam, the kalpavraksham called Vedam. From that, galidam phalam, fully ripened fruit of that Vedam is shukamukhadamrdadravasam yudam, which has come through the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. What is that? Pipada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Shukhamukhadamrudadrava samyudam. It has come from Sukadeva Goswami's lips. And what is it? Full of pibada bhagavadam rasamalayam. It is a rasam. That rasam. That what is that rasam? What that is what Krishna is talking about here. Almanyeva almanatushta. It's not different. It's one and the same. The rasam or the realization that is coming from spiritual realization or self-realization. That's what that rasam is talking about. It is not a rasam what we think. That relish bhagavadam, he says there, isn't it? Pipada bhagavadam, drink, he says. Drink this rasam, drink this juice. Pipada bhagavadam rasam alayam. Because Srimal Bhagavadam is nothing but the rasamalayam. Rasamalayam means that's where all this rasa is stored up. Everything is stored there. Alayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. That keep on drinking this rasam of spiritual life or self-realization from Srimal Bhagavadam. This is how in the Bhagavadam it begins. The instruction begins. So, all of them are saying only one thing to us, that go inwards, that's where you will find that rasam. Go inwards, that's where that rasam is stored up. Almanyeva almanatushtaha, that they are all experiencing this bliss inside, not outside. Experiencing this bliss inside. That everything, other things in this world, if we get a little bit or if we keep on taking it, after a while, we'll get fed up. Isn't it? After a while, we'll get fed up. That's the nature of everything in this world. Whether it is eating, sleeping or whatever, other sense enjoyment in this world. After some time, we don't want it because we get a saturation. We don't like to have it anymore. But this one particular thing, it never happens. And when this goes inside, this experience goes inside, Krishna says that is called Brahmistiti. Brahmistiti. That's the word Krishna uses for that word, that state of consciousness. When once this has gone inside, Krishna says, that stage is known as Brahmistiti. Complete perfection of Anubhuti. Anubhuti means the realized experience in the state of realization. At that point, Krishna says, happiness and distress will not touch him. He will not experience that anymore. And in explaining to that, explaining that, is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, what we were discussing yesterday. That Krishna said there, that in the second chapter, if you look at it, verse 57, Ya sarvatra nabhisneha tatta prapya shubha shubham nabhinandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pratishtitaha. Remember that verse. Ya sarvatra nabhisneha. This is now, from now on, what Krishna is saying is that the steps what one should take to come to this state of realization. How should one live in this world? How one should deal with this world and how he should change his lifestyle in such a way where restrictions are necessary, where control is required, what attitude he should have and how he should adjust his own life in such a way that this Tida Prajna Sega Bhasha he can experience. That's what he's starting from now on. So, first thing he says here, Sarvatra Anabhisneha Tatta prapya shubha shubham nabhi nandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pratishtita. That was the words, isn't it? So, Krishna says here that wherever sarvatra anabhisneham. Now, these are all to be understood properly. Sarvatra anabhisneham. What does that mean? What it means is that wherever the mind goes, that means mind has this one nature. It will, as soon as, wherever there is some speciality or some peculiarity, the mind will go there and start developing sankalpam around that. you know what I am saying? Sangalpa means it develops different thoughts around that peculiarity in this life. Sarvatra anabhisneham. For example, suppose some great personality suddenly come in here now and he sat there. Let's assume like that. Somebody, some well-known, famous person comes and sat there. And nobody knew about him. And I mentioned that, oh, he is such a person, some great soul. In the sense that he is well-known and everybody knows about him. You have read about him in the newspaper or television or anything. As soon as you hear he has come in and sat there, immediately your attention will go around him, centered around him, isn't it? It will go centered around him. And then the attention will go from Bhagavad Gita towards him. Immediately that happens, isn't it? It can always happen. Whenever if you have observed this, you will see the nature of the mind, how it acts in such situation. As soon as the mind gets a signal that somebody has come, something is important, or some incident, something happens, reported, or say somebody came here and told us that suddenly that, oh, there's an accident that happened outside, right across the road. Our attention straight away go from here to that incident, isn't it? And for some time at least, your mind will be thinking in terms of the accident. You'll be thinking, oh, how serious is the accident? What has happened? Has anyone got killed or anyone got injured? Things, questions like that will immediately take over and your attention in the Bhagavad Gita will go. Isn't it? So, this one aspect of the mind, Krishna is saying that one should be very careful about. So, the nature of the mind is that as soon as it gets some report from somewhere about some special thing, some incident, some person or something like that, immediately the Shraddha, attention will go in that direction. Because it is then that the mind develops different sangalpam around that. Whenever there is a particular sangalpam or some thought develops, immediately you can take it behind that there is ragam and dvesham. Say, ragam means either you will feel it is not an imagination. Don't take it that way. It's not an imagination. It is a kind of a determination inside that you will keep on thinking about the speciality, about that person or about that incident or whatever it is that has come to you. So, sometimes the mind brings such experiences in our life and it will not allow you to stick to something, but it will stick you to something else. It will take your mind away and it will get stuck with something else. This sticking nature of the mind, Krishna says to us that you should be beware of. That this is very important thing because we may not notice this because it's our habit, isn't it? So our habits, we don't know ourselves what it is. Our habit is like this. Suppose we are seriously discussing Bhagavad Gita. Something comes reporting to us now, all our attention will go in that direction. And our sangalpam, everything, all other thoughts will be centered around that incident or that person or whatever that comes in. So Krishna is saying here, if you know this nature of this mind is like this, what he is telling us to do is, sarvatra anabhisneham, tatat prapi shubha shubham. Tatat prapya shubha shubham. Nabhi nandadi na dveshti tase prajna pratishtida. So, sarvatra anabhisneham. What does it mean? That when that happens, such a thing happens, if you are conscious, alert inside, and able not to allow the mind to develop sangalpam centered around something else, which may be auspicious or inauspicious. Sometimes it is shubham, sometimes it is ashubham. Isn't it? Sometimes it can be Shubham also. Say, for example, we are all sitting here. One of you had taken, say, a lottery ticket or something, and by chance someone came to tell you that you have won the lottery. Would you be sitting here? Immediately the attention will go towards, oh, when do I have to claim the money or to get the money? This way, that is something you consider as auspicious for yourself. You're thinking like that. Krishna is saying that Yatal Prapya Shubha Shubham Sarvatra Anabhisneham. When all these things are going on in this world, Anabhisneham, that means you don't allow to stick with anything. This is that kind of mood is what is necessary. Krishna is saying us, saying to us, but at that point, if you can control, not allow the mind to go in that direction, whether it is auspicious or inauspicious, and there will be situations in life, Krishna says, that you may feel like appreciating someone, or you may feel like glorifying somebody for something what they have done, or you may feel angry with someone for something what they have done. In either of these situations, Krishna says that if you don't allow your mind to stick to it, rather able to pull the mind back from that, nabhi nandadi nadveshti, you are not going to recognize that, in the sense that you are not going to talk about it and pat him and glorify him for what he has done, nor you are going to condemn someone or criticize him heavily for what he has done, good or bad, doesn't matter. Krishna is telling us, tatta tasya prajna pratishthita, his prajna is in the sthita prajnatvam state. So, that is a good hint to us, isn't it? Some people have this habit also, that they will go on saying, oh, fantastic, smashing, excellent, great, all kinds of things they will talk to you. There may be very small thing what you may have done, but they will come and make it a big thing. And they will make you feel as though, sometimes this happens in the offices and all that, when you are working. You may also have experienced this. You may have done some small thing, little thing, which you don't think is very important. But boss comes and tells you, you've done a great job, fantastic, this, that, and the other. That make you feel as though you've turned the whole world upside down. So such a way they talk about it. Krishna is saying that's not a good thing to do. As much as possible, you don't have to talk about others' activities. It is important like that. In the management and all, they teach you in a different way, isn't it? When you go and study management, what they tell you? Oh, you have to recognize everyone's work and appreciate that, and otherwise you will not be a good manager and all that. This is basically from the material point of view. Materialistic outlook is like that. From spiritual point of view, if you do this, the damage it's doing is you're actually whipping up his false ego. You're actually whipping up his false ego. And that false ego, you're actually damaging him by doing this, constantly saying to him that you are a great person, you are doing a great job, you are doing a wonderful job, all these kind of things. So Krishna says when such a sangalpam comes inside the mind, you don't have to go and telling him all these things. Nabhi nandadi nadveshti. You don't have to say to him that you are doing great. Similarly, the other side, if somebody has done a small mistake, even if it's a grave mistake, Krishna says, nadveshti. You should not show any displeasure to him. This is spiritual attitude. Material attitude is, as soon as you do a small thing, you make it, praise him to the sky. As soon as he does a small mistake or something goes wrong, you condemn him and kick him out from there. This is materialistic nature. So that is the first thing Krishna says. If you want to become spiritually conscious, take this attitude in life. That do not get driven by these momentary success and failures in life. Tasya prajna pratishthita. That is the answer. So you see that verse, how important it is. Krishna says there that sarvatra anabhisneham, తత్తత్ ప్రాప్య శుభాశుభం నాభినందది నద్వేష్టి తస్య ప్రజ్ఞ ప్రతిష్ఠిత. ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్ దీస్ వర్సెస్ అండ్ సమ్ హౌ ది అదర్ ఇఫ్ యూ క్యాన్ అలౌ దాట్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ లైఫ్, యాక్చువల్లీ మెనీ థింగ్స్ వాట్ వీ డూ ఈస్ నాట్ రైట్. ఈవెన్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ వీ మే డూ మెనీ మెనీ సాక్రిఫైస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ టు మేక్ సమ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్, ఇసెంట్ ఇట్? ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ డూ. There is nobody, everyone who has come to spiritual life, do make some sacrifice to make some progress in spiritual life. That is our personal desire, that we desire to progress spiritually. That is why we have come to spiritual life. We understood that this is the truth. That's why we follow that. But that does not mean that we have to make a big show of the whole thing. From spiritual point of view, it's not a good thing to constantly praising and condemning people. It's not a good thing. And when we develop that habit inside the temples also, it becomes very pathetic. And then what happens one day, that person whom we have all glorified for a very, very long time, he starts thinking that I am that. I have been told, everybody is telling me like this. And inside, he is getting a conflict. What's the conflict? Personally, he is thinking he is not that. People are all telling him, you are that. And then suddenly he falls down and he goes. So we are not doing a favor to him by glorifying him and praising him unnecessarily. Sometimes this comes out very strongly in the temple. This kind of mood comes very strongly in the temple. That we continuously go on glorifying people without any substance. And when you don't do it, others all drag you saying that you are envious, that's why you are not doing it. And they put you in a very corner, in a very awkward situation. But this is not a very matured spiritual way of looking at things. That nabhi nandadi nadve, if you have understood what Krishna is saying, we won't do such things. Nabhi nandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pratishthita. Yatra, Krishna says, that sarvatra anabhisneham. That what happens is, when we glorify somebody, or when we condemn somebody, Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam some important things. I will read one or two verses. If you understood these verses, then you will never do it again. It is so important what Krishna says there. In the there is a final chapter before the end of this Ekadasha Skandam, and in that chapter, Krishna begins with this statement. Krishna begins with this statement. In all these factors, you can only accept what Krishna says, not other says. Even if somebody else says to us that, some people have made this a habit, that I have to go around glorifying everybody. And by doing that, they think that I am seeing only good in everyone. People say like that, isn't it? I see the good in everyone. We should not see the bad things in anyone. Krishna is saying, you don't have to see the good one or you don't have to see the bad one either. Both are equally bad. And this what happens is that, so if you look at that verses, in the 28th chapter of the 11th canto, very strong words Krishna has used here. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamse na garhayet vishvam egalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. That this material world, Krishna is saying, there is material nature, Prakriti, and Krishna, Purusha, behind it. Purusha behind it. And material nature and Krishna together, that they are running this world, Krishna says. They run this world. And knowing very well that is how this world is going on, he says, Parasvabhava karmani, others' svabhavam, or others' nature, or the others' activities, na prashamsed, na garhayet. You should not go on praising others, their svabhavam or their nature or their activity, nor you should criticize them, condemn them. This is the balanced mind, balanced nature, which is tida prajnyatvam, Krishna is saying. And then, after that he says, parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. Whoever doing this parasvabhava karmam, that means others' svabhavam and karmam, others' nature and others' activities, ya prashamsadi ya nindadi, whoever is glorifying that or praising that, or whoever is condemning that, sa ashu brashyate, they will immediately fall from what? Swarthal asatya abhiniveshada. That satyam and asatyam. What is that? Satyam is a realized state, soul. That is the realized state. As soon as you are doing this, Krishna is saying there that his attachment to falsity will increase. He will develop attachment to falsities in life, and the result of that is he will come down from his state of realization. For example, after hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we do develop certain realizations inside, what is right thing to do, isn't it? And we are trying to hold on to that. Some things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, many principles what Krishna has spoken, when we hear that, although we may not completely understand this, and we do not completely practice it, still we are trying to hold on to that truth, what Krishna has given to us. Isn't it? And by holding on to that truth, that is called Jnananishtha. Jnananishtha means that. That something what we have understood from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam as the helpful message from Krishna to make progress on spiritual life. So when we are holding on to that and we are trying to be in that situation, if we go on doing this kind of things, parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi, Krishna says, sa ashu brashyade, you will fall from that state, swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada, because you are holding on to the falsity, asatyam. Asatyam means what is not the truth. Whatever Krishna is telling us is the truth. And if we leave that and we discuss asatyam, falsity, we will fall from that state. That's the point Krishna is making. And then he says there, kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya vastu nakiyal vachodidam tananrudam manasa adhyatamevacha. Krishna says, this world is full of dvaidam. Dvaidam means duality, isn't it? It's full of duality here. We know what it means, isn't it? Dvaidam means duality. What is that duality? The mind creates this duality. Krishna said that before. Duality is in seeing everything two opposed to things. As I said, black and white, and happiness and distress, heat and cold, boy and girl, man and woman. Like this, in everything you see these two things existing here. So when there is these two things, the mind plays with it. How does it play? It says one is good, one is bad. One is right, one is wrong. One gives you happiness, one gives you distress. Like this, we are constantly getting crushed with the dualities of this world. With the dualities of this world. So Krishna's point is, kim badram, kim abhadram va? What is right in these things? Krishna is asking. The whole thing is false. That's what he's saying here. Vachodidam tad anurdam. The whole material world is a complete false thing. He says, you are holding on to this anurdam. Anurdam means a total falsity. Total lie, this is. I don't know what to say. It explains, vachodidam tad anurdam. You are meditating on something which is very, very false. And manasa dhyadam evacha. With your mind, you are meditating through this, and whatever you are meditating is all false things. So, in order that allow the truth to enter inside and to develop this realization of the truth, Krishna says it is important to come out of this state of thought, nature from us. So, that is exactly what Krishna is saying here. This is the part of Jnana Yoga. In the Ekadasha Skandam, just before finishing Ekadasham, there are two chapters. One relates to bhakti and one relates to jnana. They are both equally important. Ekadasham is nothing but a mixture of jnanam and bhakti. Both are discussed in Ekadasha Skandam. So jnana margam finishes Krishna by making these statements about our dealings with this world. Ki badram, ki abhadram va. What's right and what's wrong in all these things. And therefore Krishna says, do not discuss such topics even. If possible, don't discuss these topics, unnecessary topics. This is right and this is wrong. This mentality has to go away from us. So here, in this verse also, Krishna is saying similarly, that the sarvatra anabhisneham, it's necessary not to allow the mind to fall into this trap of discussing dualities. Because if that happens, tatva prape shubha shubham. Sometimes you may think, oh, what has come out from this is good, from this result is, I welcome this. Sometimes you say, oh, it was terrible, it didn't come out right. So in all these cases, all what we are doing is, we are appreciating something and we are condemning something. This appreciation and condemnation is not only in relationship with persons, isn't it? It also in relationship with any results we get from our activities. Isn't it? When we succeed in something, doing something, and the results are good, we say, oh, we did the right one, we did the right thing, and we appreciate ourselves within that. All what it does is, whenever we do that, we are actually allowing our mind to stick to it. The sticky nature of the mind develops there. So that's why Krishna says here, that whenever that sangalpam develops inside, immediately you should learn to not allow the mind to get involved in that. It's a way of restricting the mind, and it's a way of safeguarding or protecting ourselves from the impact of Maya, material nature. So there's a story about that. There was one zamindar. You know what zamindar means? Zamindar means a landlord-like person who has got a lot of land, a wealthy person. So this zamindar, although he was very wealthy and although he had a great desire for spiritual life as well. Spiritual life can happen in anyone, anytime. Desire happens to him. So he had a lot of wealth. So what he used to do, he always used to invite saintly people to his house and invite them for bhiksha, feed them with prasadam and like to hear from them. And sometimes he used to request them to read Bhagavad Gita and explain to him. Like that, he had a great interest in hearing from others. So, in other words, he had this pious nature in him. And he had also a spiritual master, a guru. He had a guru as well. So, he was not very well versed in the Shastram. But at the same time, whatever he has heard from others, and because his mind was inclined in that way, he has developed quite a lot of understanding about spiritual life. So one day he asked his spiritual master one question. Question was this: what does knowledge mean, actually? And what does renunciation mean? Can you explain that to me, he said. So the spiritual master told him that, look, if you go from here a few kilometers, there is one lake there. Near that lake, there is one sannyasi sitting there. Please go and invite him for bhiksha, for prasadam. Go and invite him for prasadam, he said. So the zamindar went there and met this, saw this sannyasi there, as he said, he was sitting there. And sannyasi was completely peaceful and satisfied. He was sitting there. So our zamindar invites him to come for bhiksha. So sannyasi said, no, I don't go anywhere to take bhiksha. I'm satisfied here what I'm doing. So after a lot of persuasion, after speaking to him, he agreed to come. So on the day when he arrived for receiving his bhiksha, for the prasadam, the zamindar had one habit, that he had one golden plate for the guest to eat. And he will give it to that guest whom he has invited. And for all others who had come to eat with him, he will offer them leaves, banana leaves or whatever leaves that's being available at that point. So when the sannyasi came, he took this golden plate and brought it and kept it in front of him to eat the prasadam. So as soon as he gave this golden plate, sannyasi said, I don't eat in gold plates. It will look awkward, a sannyasi eating in the gold plate. What kind of sannyasam people will say? And not only that, I have no interest at all to eat. Give me a leaf, he said. Give me a leaf. So, naturally, to please the guest, that's what you do, isn't it? You do what the guest wants, not that what you like to do. So, he took the gold plate back and put a leaf in front of him to eat. Then he started serving everything, because naturally he has prepared a big feast for everybody. And there were other people also there who had come with this invitation of this sannyasi. Sannyasi didn't bother anything. He sat there. When everything was served, what he did was, he mixed everything together with the hand. All the rice, dal, sabji, and pickles, papad, everything. He mixed it up together and then ate it all together. After that, he got up, took the leaf, went outside and threw it in the bin and walked away from there. Didn't even tell him goodbye. Not a word was spoken and walked out from there. So the guru, the spiritual master, told this zamindar, "Did you understand now what it means?" he said. Zamindar said, "No, I don't understand him." He said, "He seems to be very funny." He says, "No, he's not funny." He said, "What you have seen there, that is vairagyam. That is vairagyam." But then the zamindar asked, "Is he a jnani?" He says, "No, I can't say that yet. I can't say that about him yet. But he has got vairagyam." Vairagyam means this, not sticking to anything. Then he came there, he was not interested whether it's gold or anything. He was satisfied with the leaf. That means inside, already he had that satisfaction in eating on the leaf, he was satisfied. And he was not fussy about what was served and what was not served. He has to eat something, so he has eaten that. And this is the mood necessary in life, in spiritual life, that not to be fussy about anything. Anything that happens, able to accept it. If we do that, Krishna is saying here, sarvatra anabhisneham. This is that word means. In practical life, anabhisneham. Whatever that comes, be satisfied with that. So when everything was served, he didn't show any special attachment to one dish. Sometimes we say, "Oh, that one is good, I'll have some of that," we say. Isn't it? Or sometimes we'll say, "Something else is not good, I don't like it." He didn't make any differentiation between one to the other. To show that, he mixed up everything. Because he was not even looking for the taste from the food. Our nature is always that, "Oh, if this is nice, I'll have some of this, but the other one is not nice." We already, you know, all this nicety is all in the mind only, isn't it? It's a mind that is telling us that this is nice and this is not nice. So, in other words, this sannyasi has gone beyond that mental state. He was only saying that he was not showing any particular attention to any attachment to any of them. So, sarvatra anabhisneham, tatrat prapi shubhashubham. Good or bad, whatever comes in life, able to live with that. And then, nabhi nandadi nadveshti. He did not say, appreciate him for being invited by him. That's why he walked out without saying one word. He did not want to say, thanks to him. "Oh, you invited me. Thank you for that. Thanks for the prasadam." Nothing was spoken. Nabhi nandadi. No abhinandanam. Abhinandanam means appreciation. Nabhi nandadi. Nor he had any anger. "I fulfilled it. Just to please you, I had come." That was his mood. "You invited me. Because you invited me, I have come to please you. I have done what I have to do." Nabhinandadi nadveshti. Tasya prajna pratishtida. His prajna will be situated properly. That will not be affected by that. So you see the problem where we live, how we live in this world and how spiritually we have to deal with this world. Everywhere we see completely opposite, isn't it? So this is, in this way, Krishna says here, that sannyasi taught what is vairagyam. But he also said, "I do not know whether he is a jnani. I can't say that yet," he said. So then the disciple, the zamindar, asked the guru, "Can you tell me then what is jnana means?" "Okay, now I understand what vairagya means." He says, "I'll tell you what jnana means," he said. "Go further. There is another place or another sannyasi. You bring him here," he said. "Invite him for bhiksha." So our zamindar goes there and invite him for bhiksha. And he said, "Yes, yes, I'll come, no problem," he said. As that was the way he reacted straight away. He says, "I'll come for the bhiksha, no problem," he said. He came. And exactly the same way, when he came, our sannyasi, our zamindar gave him the gold plate to have the meal. Because you don't know, every sannyasi may not be the same, isn't it? Sannyasis can also be different. Some sannyasis are very opulent and they live very well. And some sannyasis, they don't even get some prasad sometimes. We see all that in our own life, isn't it? So this sannyasi, he gave him this plate to eat. He looked at the plate, oh, it's a very nice plate, he said. He sat there. And everything that was served, he ate everything. Everything very happily he ate, like everybody else who was sitting with him. After the feast was over, you take the leaf, isn't it, and go and put it into the bin. So when they all did that, he took the plate and went and put it in the bin, along with everybody else. This golden plate, yeah. There was only one plate, you must remember. And it cost a lot of money, a golden plate means. You can imagine it. It's a very expensive thing, isn't it? So, the zamindar, after the meal was over, he went there. They all sat separately, then he ate their meal, who was zamindar and others. So somebody came back and reported to the zamindar, I think this sannyasi you have invited is a crazy person. He says, he has gone and put that golden plate in the bin with all the other leaves. It's lying there, he said. So Zamindar got also a bit upset because he's keeping this for everyone, this one gold plate for everyone. So Zamindar asked his sannyasi, where is the plate? I could take it and wash it, he says. I thought that is to be thrown away with all the other things. He says, so I've thrown it in the bin, he said. The sannyasi is saying to Zamindar. So Zamindar managed to get it back, the plate. No doubt. But after he left, he goes back to his spiritual master and asks him that why is this like this? Everybody is saying he's a nut. The sannyasi is a nut. People don't do things like this, isn't it? That he has no value for this. The guru sannyasi says to him, that is knowledge. That is knowledge. If you know, there is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, these words you have to note it. Samaloshtashma Kanchana. Samaloshtashma Kanchana. I think it's in the 6th chapter, Krishna says this. Samaloshtashma Kanchana means that when you start seeing things like this, the worth, how much it is worth, all these things, in relationship with your spiritual life. For your spiritual advancement, whether it is a golden bowl or it's a brick, it's the same thing. Neither of them can really help us, isn't it? They are of the same category. This differentiation, imposing our mind to consider something as valuable and something not valuable, in relationship with our spiritual life, they are all the same. They are of no use to us. In other words, samaloshtashma kanchana. So Guru says to the zamindar, that is jnanam, that is knowledge. So, knowledge in a person manifests like this, in this way, in his actions. That he starts dealing with things in this world which are not important. Or in other words, things that is not helpful for his spiritual life. He considers all of them as useless. All of them are useless. This discrimination is necessary inside. When this discrimination is not there, we will get anabhisneham, will not happen. In other words, mind will start sticking to it. A jnani will think that, oh, this is golden bowl, I have to take care of this because it's an expensive thing. Immediately what happens? Attachment will develop. Can I have this bowl to myself? Shall I say to the zamindar, would you like to give this to me? Sometimes people do such things, isn't it? They'll go and ask some situation. Sometimes people visit houses. When they go, they see something nice. And they'll ask in a very subtle level, where did you get this from? In other words, the desire is already there inside to have it. That's why that question is coming from. So somebody will say, oh, my son brought this from America when he came last time and all that. Oh, when he comes next time, can you ask him to bring one for me as well? Like this in a way, already the mind is gone. The sankalpam has developed inside, isn't it? That's what it is saying. So here, the thing is this, that the verse was talking about that Krishna is saying there, സർവത്ര അനഭിസ്നേഹം. വെറെവർ ദീസ് അറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ഓർ എനി കൈൻഡ് ഓഫ് തോട്ട്സ് ആർ ഡെവലപ്പിംഗ് ഇൻസൈഡ്, വെരി കെയർഫുള്ളി യു ഷുഡ് ഒബ്സർവ് ദാറ്റ്. കൃഷ്ണ സേ സർവത്ര അനഭിസ്നേഹം തത്തത് പ്രാപ്യ ശുഭാശുഭം. ദ ആർ ഓൾ ശുഭം ഓർ അശുഭം, ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് ഓർ ഇനോസ്പീഷ്യസ്, ഡസിൻറ്റ് മാറ്റർ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ ആർ നാഭിനന്ദതി നദ്വേഷ്ടി. ഡോണ്ട് അപ്രീഷിയേറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഓർ ഡോണ്ട് കണ്ടം ഇറ്റ്, ഡോണ്ട് ക്രിട്ടിസൈസ് ഇറ്റ്. തസ്യ പ്രജ്ഞ പ്രതിഷ്ഠിത, ഹിസ് പ്രജ്ഞ ഈസ് പ്രോപ്പർലി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ്. സോ this incident what we talked about with the zamindar and his spiritual master, that in order to understand sometimes you have to observe people, how they do things. Jnanam and vairagyam you will see in a person. sometimes you can see if somebody does not have a vairagyam inside, you can't force it upon them because it's not there, what can you do? But if the knowledge is, if the realization is there inside, proper realization inside, that person you can see how he lives in this world and how he deals with this world. You can see that from his activities. That he's not sticking, that's the main thing. He's not sticking to anything. That it is, vairagyam doesn't mean we forcefully throw away things. That is not the real vairagyam. Real vairagyam is your mind sticking to something that you feel that it's necessary to have it for your life in this world. Or in other words, does it help in your spiritual life? So able to think in that way and all the same time not to feel mind, allowing the mind to go and stick to something, that sticky nature, one can escape from that. Krishna says that will help. His prajna will be sthita prajna. He'll come to the sthita prajna platform. There is another incident about this also. This is in the Upanishads. I mentioned this also before. Ashtavakra Maharshi. Ashtavakra was a great sage. Ashtavakra wrote a book known as Ashtavakra Samhita. The book is called Ashtavakra Samhita. So Ashtavakra Maharshi was very friendly with Janaka, King Janaka in Mithila. Ashtavakra Maharshi was very friendly with him. Both used to discuss the self-realization a lot. They're both self-realized souls, and in the self-realized platform they have other topics to discuss, which we don't know what it is. They had discussed each other, but they had topics to discuss. So Janaka, King Janaka, used to come and visit Ashtavakra Maharshi often. Quite often he used to come and visit him. So whenever Janaka came to the Mithila, Janaka went to visit Ashtavakra Maharshi in his ashram, Ashtavakra Maharshi used to have his own disciples there in the ashram. And Janaka also had his disciples in his palace. People used to come to Janaka. This family, particularly Janaka's family, King Janaka, they are so well known in spiritual life. To get a recognition from Krishna, that's what he has acquired. If you look into 4th, 5th chapter, you will see there, the only king among so many kings we have, isn't it? In the ancient times, there were so many great personalities. But somehow, Krishna has recognized him so well. Astido Janakadeya, he says. That all those kings, just like Janaka, he says. This is talking about the transcendental knowledge. From there you can see what a high position he used to hold. Because Sita Devi's father, Sita Devi took birth there. Sita Devi means spiritual knowledge. Sita Devi means spiritual knowledge. Because of Sita Devi's birth, Mithila became the center of this family came there, Janaka. Janaka's family, Sita Devi took birth. And not only that, Sukadeva Goswami says, because of her birth, every person who has appeared in that family, they will all be self-realized souls. All of them are self-realized souls. So, Ashtavakra Maharshi's ashram, Janaka came with all his disciples. Ashtavakra was there with his disciples. So, when Janaka came, Ashtavakra Maharshi got up from his seat. The disciples don't know about Janaka's position. Spiritual position, nobody understands easily, isn't it? Anyone's spiritual position, we don't easily understand. We only judge people based on their material positions. So when Janaka came, Ashtavakra Maharshi got up. So you know what the disciple said? Ashtavakra Maharshi's disciple said, when the king comes, VIP treatment for him. When the king comes, it's a VIP treatment, like we do in the temple. When a rich man comes, VIP treatment. When a poor man comes, he's useless, he's nothing. So who are we? We are judging completely through our mind and the senses. So, like we say like that about visits to the temple also, in the same way, a lot of people have told me, I'm sure you also must have heard like that, sometimes we go and honor ministers and big people like that, isn't it? Celebrities, when they come, 8-10 people after them running to find out what they want and how to make them happy so that they'll go back and say some nice things about us. This is all behind it, isn't it? Otherwise, where is the difference? Whether it is the Gordon Brown or somebody else, doesn't matter. But spiritual life, they're all the same thing. So what the important thing is that Janaka came and Ashtavakra Maharshi's disciples made this comment. What kind of guru is what we have got? In other words, indirectly they were criticizing Ashtavakra, wasn't it? And Ashtavakra will not have any of that. He was such a person he was. Ashtavakra's history is like that. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see Ashtavakra's history is so penetrating story about him. So Ashtavakra thought, I should teach these people a lesson, he said. Decided to teach his disciples a lesson. So he told his disciples afterwards, let's go to his palace, he said, to Janaka's palace. So he took all of them together and went to Janaka's palace. And through his yogic power, he's a powerful yogi, this Ashtavakra was. Through his yogic power, he created a very powerful fire in the whole palace. The whole palace started burning. Through yogic power he has created. The whole palace is burning. Ashtavakra is discussing Vedanta philosophy with Janaka together. They are not getting up from their seats. So, this story is in the Yoga Vasishtam. So, Ashtavakra and Janaka are discussing the philosophy, Vedanta philosophy, or above the Vedic philosophy, and the whole palace is burning. Things started burning down, and Ashtavakra is not bothered, Janaka is also not bothered. And the inner palace, where all the queens and other princesses, they lived, that's also started burning. So all the people are running around at that time. So there is a verse, it's mentioned in the Yoga Vasishtam, it says like this, that Janaka is saying this. At that point, Ashtavakra asked Janaka, whole place is burning, why are you not getting up? Ashtavakra is asking this to Janaka. Janaka's answer, Mithilayam pradeeptayam name kinjal pranashyadi anandam vedame vittam yasyame nasti kinchana. This is the answer from Janaka to Ashtavakra. He says here, Mithilayam pradeeptayam name kinjal pranashyadi. Mithila may be burning. That's all right. It will not happen. Anything will happen to me. Why? Anandam vadame vittam yasye nasti kinchana. That generally, you are always conscious of where your wealth is. Isn't it? Suppose, I have say 500 pounds in my pocket. I'll be very conscious of that. Isn't it? If I'm sitting with a group of people, I'll be thinking, is anyone looking at my pocket? Of my money inside? Isn't it? That is a natural thing. Where our wealth is, there will be our attention. Isn't it? Our attention will be there. That is the way the mind works. Wherever our wealth, what we consider as precious in life, wherever that is, that will be our attention will be there. That is an irrevocable fact. Everybody knows about that, isn't it? So Janaka is saying to Ashtavakra, in this satsangam what we are having here, my attention is in the heart, where I am concerned. In other words, that degree of realization is Janaka is so high that there is no question of him to come down from the spiritual platform under any circumstances. That was the depth of realization Janaka had. I mean, such a top level, you can say. That means under no circumstances he will fall from spiritual position. So he did not care whether the palace is burning, whether the queens and princesses are getting burned. Nothing was disturbing him. Why? He has reached that state of realization that nothing can disturb him. In other words, tasya prajna pratishthita. Krishna is saying that. So when this happened, this was the answer. Midhilayam pradiptayam name kinchal pranashyati anandam vedame vittam yasyame nasti kinchana. That wherever your money is there, your mind will be there. And if your attention is in satsangam, if your mind is there, it will, whatever happens, the mind, body is giving some trouble, or you are feeling hungry, thirsty, whatever it is, Krishna is saying, name kinchal pranashyati. So, at that point, what happened was, the disciples of Janaka ran away from there, seeing the whole palace burning. And the Ashtavakra's disciples also ran with them. So, gurus had no problems, but the disciples all ran to help, to find out what this is happening. Suddenly, Ashtavakra pulled the plug and the whole fire left. It was all yogic creation. Completely out of yogic power, he has created this in order to teach them a lesson. So, when the disciples came back, Ashtavakra asked them, I can understand if Janaka runs, because he is a king, he owns the palace, and he has so many people who are under his care, all the family members and the big palaces, queens, princesses, princes, all of them, and this great wealth he owns. So I can imagine why if he runs, but why are you people running? What are you protecting about? He says. So two disciples says, we have left our cowpin for drying, and that cowpin we had to take care of, protect it. So we ran for that, says. So at that time, Ashtavakra Maharshi's statement, you see what he says here? He says, Aginjanatvam mahaswastyam kaupinatve vidurlabham. A kaupinam is enough. Kaupinam is considered to be the silliest thing one has to be careful to protect about, isn't it? Nobody will steal the kaupinam. Nobody wants the kaupinam for anything. And kaupinam is, even if the attachment is there to kaupinam, even due to such a small thing, that can create aswastyam inside. It can create problems inside the mind. That is what Ashtavakra said. Ashtavakra's answer to that was like this. He says that akinjanatvam mahaswastyam. Akinjanatvam means possessiveness, non-possessiveness, that you not possess anything. It is from possessiveness that we develop this attachment, isn't it? Possessive. That I possess something. I possess a car, I possess a home, I possess my family, I possess this, that. All these things create disturbances inside. And it doesn't require all these things. Even if you are a kinchana, even just a kaupin will do to create this disturbance inside. Just even a small kaupin will sufficient. Sometimes you can see people get attached to something. They may not be important thing. Important thing, they may not be very attached. But some small thing, they will be very attached to it. And they will tell you also, I'm very attached to that. They will say like this, isn't it? You've seen that, isn't it? Something more expensive or valuable, they will not be attached. Sometimes people say, I'm very attached to my car, you know. So if you go travel with them in the car, by chance, if you make any mistake, they will say, oh, don't do that. That's I'm attached to this car. It could be some old model sports car or something. Some attachment he has built up inside. Similarly, various objects in this world, people develop attachment in that way. So, one who has developed this akinchanatvam. Akinchanatvam means that no attachment to anything, no attachment or possessiveness to anything. Vaishnava Maharshi says here that he will have swastada. Swastada means peacefulness inside. And he will automatically able to understand Siddhaprajnatvam. Siddhaprajnatvam will come to him. That even if it is a kaupinam, if you think it's mine, then there will be no peace inside. There will be no shanti. This attachment can develop with anything. In the Shastram, the word used is mamata. Me and mine, isn't it? Aham mameti. Mamata is the word that is used. So sometimes, small things we will get attached. In important things, there may not be an attachment. So Krishna's point is, whether it is a small thing or whether it is a big thing, sarvatra anabhisneham. If you start appreciating, attachment will build up. If you start appreciating, attachment will build up. So, therefore, the point Krishna is making is that tatal prapi shubha shubham, whether it is good or bad, if you have not this sticking nature in you, akinchanatvam is inside, that I do not possess it, so therefore though attachment also to it, then tasya prajna pratishthita, his prajna will come to sthita prajnatvam. He will come to sthita prajnatvam. Sometimes we do, if something good happens, we will appreciate that. And something goes wrong, we will say, oh, it should not have happened like that. One who is situated without any of these reactions inside, tasya prajna pratishthita, Krishna is saying here. You can look at Krishna's life in this world. When I say Krishna's life, all I'm saying is that when Krishna performed his pastimes in this world, that's the way we have to say that, isn't it? When Krishna performed his pastimes in this world, this appreciation and condemnation you will not see in Krishna's dealings with anyone. Never Krishna appreciated anyone, nor Krishna condemned anyone. Can you imagine, at the very last minute in Prabhasam, when Krishna had to decided to leave this world, the very children, grandchildren, family members, whom he has protected them and brought them up, and that was not a small family, it was a very huge family. All this whole family were beating up each other. And they were all drunk, most of them were drunk, and they were beating up each other, and they acted so violently and misbehaved in front of Krishna so much. And what did Krishna do? Krishna went and sat there and smiling, seeing all these things. What was happening? Why is it like that? Sarvatra anabhisneham. Attachment is not there. Never thought that this is my family, this is my family members, and they have misbehaved. No, absolutely nothing. Krishna is concerned, absolute. Kim badram kim apadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyad vacho odidam tananrudam manasa dhyanam dhyatam evacha. This realized state is always in the top of Krishna's dealings with this world. Whenever Krishna reacted in this world, it was like this. Kim badram kim apadram va. In this world, Prakriti, material nature, Krishna is asking, what is auspicious here and what is not auspicious here? Kim badram, kim abhadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyad. Everything is dvaidam here. There is nothing here which is perfect. Everything is dvaidam. Somebody comes and you feel that he is my friend. Somebody comes to you say he is my enemy. Kim badram, kim abhadram va, dvaidasya vastuna kiyad. Vajodidam tadanurdam. That everything what you are discussing here in this world is full of falsity. Full of falsity, isn't it? And we become so serious about all these things. We think that this is where everything has to be sorted. isn't it? It's the wrong place to sort it out. It's not the place for sorting things out. Nothing can be sorted out here. It will go on like this in its own way. Vajodidam tad anurdam. Everything is so false, Krishna says here. Vajodidam tad anurdam. Manasadhyadameva cha. All it is doing is engaging your mind in the thoughts of this and keeping yourself busy. So this statement, you see, topmost realization in the Jnanamargam, Krishna is talking about in the Ekadasha Skandham. So realization may be difficult straight away for us. That is difficult. Because this realization can come only after going through a whole life and lot of experiences and lot of sadhana, upasana, anushtanam, japam, dhyanam, puja, everything one has to do, plus simultaneously one has to read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam in satsangam. After all that, this can happen, not before that. But whenever we hear these things, even if a little bit of it goes inside, and if it stays there, it will be a help in spiritual life. Because most of us don't hear these things. We are always told things of how to do, improve these things. Because if we hear these things, what will happen? Remember, Krishna said, Almanya Valmana Tushta. Almanya Valmana Tushta, Krishna said that, isn't it? So, in order to come to Almana Tushta stage, Almanya Valmana Tushta, only thing has to happen is, our outward looking nature has to go. And it has to turn inward looking. It has to become inward looking. In order to become inward looking, if this knowledge doesn't go in, it is not going to happen. When Krishna is giving such a blunt and straightforward opinion about this world, kim badram, kim abhadram va, there is nothing auspicious here, there is nothing inauspicious here. Dvaidasya vastuna kiyal, it is all duality, what it is here. Vajodidam tad anurdam, everything is so false here. Krishna says, manasodhyayam evava. Then what is the point in meditating on this world in your mind so much? This is the question Krishna is putting forward to us. Manasodhyayam evava. So, to free this mind from this world, first thing required, without freeing the mind from the world outside, this inward-looking nature is not going to develop inside. We have a lot of problems within ourselves first, before we think about correcting the whole world. The problems what we have is, Krishna will come to this later, that we are created in such a way, remember this, we spoke about it before also, that Krishna created us in such a way, we have got the senses in us, like the windows, isn't it? And the senses are one nature, it always go outwardly. You know, the senses always go outwardly. Never any of our senses told us to look inwards. By very nature of our creation, this material body, it is such that it will always go external, looking externally. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, the five senses of knowledge, they're all looking where I can get that satisfaction. Isn't it? So, all these things Krishna has created in such a way, all the windows are opening externally, outwardly. And as soon as the windows are open, what happens? The mind starts its journey through the sense objects. This is how our life is going on. Not once the senses told the mind, let's go and inquire inside. Never. It never does that. But after creating all these things, Krishna gets inside us and sits there and tells us to look inwards. This is what Krishna has done to us. It's in the Upanishads, this statement. If you look into Kathopanishad, we have mentioned this also before, that in one of our earlier classes, the verses, Paranjighani Viganasab Swayambhu Almal Parang Pasharina Andar Alman Kaschil Dira Prateg Almanam Akshan Avurta Chakshu Amrdatthamichan. It's a verse in the Kathopanishad. What it says is there, Paranjighani, that all the senses are looking outwardly. We are not Swayambhu. Brahma has created in that way. When Brahma created us, our creation itself is such that senses will only go external, go outwardly. Atman parang pashyati andar atman. It will never search for the Atma inside, andar Atma inside, but it will go and look for things outside. Kashil dhira, but the dhira or the person who is dhira or who is strong in his inquiry, pratyag Atmanam akshan, he wants to see the pratyag Atma. So pratyag Atma is Krishna's presence inside us, pratyag Atma. And that is where you can realize the self quickest and easiest way. Not in the world outside. If we want to realize the self, we want to realize the truth, the easiest place and the quickest place and the closest place to us is inside us, not outside. So that's why it says here, Kaschid Dhira Pratyagalpanam Akshan. Knowing this very well, Dhira, the person who is serious about it, Pratyagalpanam Akshan, in order to realize him, Avrutta Chakshu Amrutatvam Ichchan. Avrutta Chakshu. Avrutta Chakshu means he will close down. He will cover up or close it down. Chakshu means all the senses, not only the eyes. All senses he will close down. Why? Because he has strong desire inside. Amrutatvam Ichchan. He wants to become liberated. Taste the nectar of spiritual realization. Taste the nectar of spiritual realization. So, when Krishna says, Almanyev Almanatushta, in the Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan, Almanyev Almanatushta, this is the first step in that direction. First step in that direction is to shut these senses which are taking us outwardly. All the senses are dragging us outwardly all the time. We are never conscious of these things. We are always thinking that that the truth is outside. This is the biggest mistake in our head. The truth is always out. Truth is actually inside us. So, but because the way we have been created, Krishna created us, and with, in this way, through Brahma, Brahma made us, Swayambhu has created us in this way. All senses external. And then Krishna gets inside. That's the soul who sits inside. And he's telling us to look inwards. So that's why Kathamanishad is asking this question. Only a person who has understood this properly and who has determined, who is determined and who wants to realize the truth will close and shut down the senses first. And after shutting it down, what he will do? Kaschil dhiraha amrutatvam ichchan. He has desire for tasting the nectar of the Almanatushta. Almanyev Almanatushta. He will turn inwards. He will turn, attention will turn inwards. So this inward looking nature is the first thing Krishna wants us to develop. In order to develop that inward looking nature and to tell us the first step, Krishna spoke the next verse. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. That tortoise verse, Kurmanganiva Sarvasha, he says there, isn't it? Why Krishna bring tortoise there at this point? Tortoise does exactly the same thing. There cannot be a better better comparison than a tortoise for this. What does the tortoise do? As soon as there is danger, tortoise pulls all its senses inwards. All the limbs, the legs which are going out, it goes in. Hands, legs, whatever it is outside. You must have seen this. Tortoise lies like this. The whole thing is like a doom. And underneath the doom, the legs comes out, hands comes out. And whatever senses are there, all the senses are pulled in. As soon as it pulled in, it feels security. Because that's the way it protects from the external aggression, from other living entities. Similarly, Krishna is saying to us that if you want to protect your spiritual life, if you want to realize the truth inside the self, the first thing you have to do is to withdraw from the world of senses. What is this material world? From the world of senses. You can see that Krishna's comparison with the kurmam. Kurmam is tortoise. Often you will see this if you have understood how the temples are constructed. When you go to the temples, ancient temples, I'm talking about the ancient temples, the modern temples, these things are architects are designing. So naturally, it will be a different. Convenience is priority. The modern temples, convenience is priority. In the ancient temple, Shastram is priority. Nowadays, we build temples according to our convenience, isn't it? We want this facility, just like we build our houses. But in the ancient temples were not built like that. Convenience was not the issue. There, the issue is the temple based on the Shastram? Shastram is telling us that once you enter the temple, you should become spiritual. Otherwise, it's not a temple. If you enter it, nowadays we see, oh, what's the size of the chandelier? Oh, it's the most expensive chandelier I've seen anywhere. It's fantastic, amazing. Who paid for it? That's the next question. So that is not the ancient temples, because they were built by the kings. They didn't ask anybody for donation. So they had their own money. So they could do what they wanted to do. So they followed Shastram. In the modern world, we build temples in a completely different understanding. Never mind, what I'm saying here is that when the ancient temples are built, you will see, right before you reach the temple, there is Dvajastambham, isn't it? Dvajastambham. Underneath the Dvajastambham, if you look, there will be a tortoise there. Have you noticed that? In many places you will see a tortoise right underneath the Dvajastambham. Dvajastambham means the flag, where the flag flies. Or next to that, they may have the lamp gallery, a lamp standing there with the different levels. They burn this wicks on the lamp, they burn that, isn't it? There also you'll notice a tortoise underneath they have shown. Tortoise, you may wonder why tortoise has come here. It's a nice tortoise they kept underneath, but only to show to us that at least while coming to the temple, give up sense gratification in order to withdraw from the sense enjoyment. So that is how the temples are all temples have a lot of theory behind it when they built the temples. How each and every part of the temple, who presents in where and whose presence, who is worshipped in what position, and who how the worship should be executed. This is the Vedic tradition. So here you will see there that this verse that kim bhadram kim abhadram va, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, that whatever you are seeing in this world is totally false. Is totally false. Then comparison is like this. There is not a drop of water in the desert. But suddenly you see, oh, there is always water there, isn't it? When you stand from a distance, you see there's water there. Marumarichika, it is called. Don't know what they say in English. Mirage. Yeah, Marumarichika. In Sanskrit word is Marumarichika. So there, just like that, our senses are dealing with this world in that way. Everything in this world, as far as Krishna is concerned, is like that. There is only one truth in this world, Krishna says, and that is the soul. Nothing else. Everything else is this mirage. Everything else is mirage. So that truth, he says, one who has known that, he says, where can he develop any attachment to that? If he has come to that platform, where is the question of developing any attachment to anything in this world? Sarvatra anabhisneham tatat prapya shubhashubham nabhinandadi nadveshti tasya prajna pradishtida. This verse, we have to keep it in our mind. Sometimes we have to remember that also. All those things what we have spoken about this verse. Why is it so important? Important is this, that before we withdraw from this world, and as much as we are developing our internal, our withdrawing our mind from the world outside and to go inwardsly, in other words, internal development to happen. When that is happening, we have to have a center there where you can withdraw from this world. You can't withdraw and stay quiet. There has to have a center inside. That is the soul, isn't it? That's where we are withdrawing to. From the world outside, we are withdrawing towards the soul. We are withdrawing towards the soul. That is spiritual realization. So, then this is in Shastram, they call it as Andarmukhatvam. If you remember, in the Bhagavadam, we will see this in great personalities, Vedavyasa Maharshi particularly. Vedavyasa Maharshi is Andarmukhan. Andarmukhan means they have developed this nature of looking inwards very strongly. They will not look for a solution outside. This is their nature. And that is necessary in spiritual life. Looking outward is not the answer to problem. When Vedavyasa Maharshi had this crisis, if you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after he wrote Mahabharatam, he was not happy. He felt a lot of unhappiness and he could not understand why he was feeling unhappy. And he kept on thinking and thinking, and because he was Andarmukhatvam was inside, he got the answer from inside. The answer was that I have done so much to please Krishna, but why there is still unhappiness inside? It is only that from inside he got the answer that I did not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, enough. And that is what is causing the problem. And even after he got the answer from inside, you can see nobody came and told what has gone wrong to him. Because he knew very well that my unhappiness is due to something what I have done. There is something missing in my action. And I have not found the answer. So he kept thinking over it again and again, and eventually the answer comes from inside. This is the nature of a person who has developed Andarmukhatvam. We are all Bahirmukhatvam. Our nature is always to look external. When we have a problem, we go elsewhere trying to find the solution. And that is a symptom of Bahirmukhatvam. That means external looking. Andarmukhatvam is, as soon as there is a problem, we withdraw inside and look inwards and see where things have gone wrong. That is Andarmukhatvam. All the great spiritual leaders, personalities had this quality in them. There's so many examples we can talk about of this particular nature in those people. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi's case, he found the answer. First he found the answer himself. It is after that he thought, let Srinarada Maharshi tell me what's gone wrong. It's only a confirmation that he got from Narada Maharshi. The answer he found himself, not from Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi comes later, and then Vedavyasa Maharshi's thoughtful mood, very thoughtful and grave mood, Narada Maharshi observed. And it is then that Narada Maharshi asked the question, what has caused this unhappiness in you? And then Vedavyasa says to him, you are like the wind who goes everywhere, and you know the in and out of everybody. Do I have to tell you what is actually going through my inside? And Srinarada Maharshi is also a similar person who looks inwards. And he can immediately see, without being answered, he understood what the problem Vedavyasa is facing, what crisis he is facing through. So these things are showing to us that spiritual personalities, they don't have to talk to each other. There is no need to talk to each other. Because of this Andarmukhatvam, looking inward nature, they can easily understand where things are going wrong. So here, so while practicing this Andarmukhatvam or looking inwards nature, said these questions has to be constantly asking. Why have I come here? What's my business here? Why am I here? It's all these things we have to ask ourselves, this question. Otherwise, what happens is, normally, this normal life, what we live in this world, what is that? Eating, sleeping, eating, sleeping, eating, sleeping. This is ahara nidra bhayamaithunamcha samanya medal pashubhin naranam. That is the conclusion about that. So, when we start thinking that life is something higher than that to offer, that this valuable time and some little intelligence and capacity, strength what we have got today in this body, if ever it has to be utilized, it has to be for this purpose only, nothing else. All other things are complete waste of time. That will carry on in its own way, whether we are here or we are not here. This world will go on. We don't have to be too much concerned about the world, what is outside. That is Krishna's creation. Krishna has created. Krishna knows how to carry this going. So, otherwise, Ajari Swamiji says, Dhanayamrityo sayam prado shishira vasando punere ayado kala kredadi gachadi ayu tadavina munja asha pasham. It's one of the verses from the Bhajagovindam prayers. What it says, Dhanayamityo sayam pradam. That morning is coming, evening is coming. After that, day is coming, morning, evening comes and goes. Shishira vasando punere ayado. All the seasons are coming one after the shishiram vasandam winter. Winter, summer, rainy season, all autumn, all one after the other comes and goes. Kalam kridadi gachadi ayu. Time is playing its role also. Time does what it has to do. Gachadi ayu. Lifespan is also going away. But tadavena munjadi asha pasham. Only thing what has not gone away from us is this desire to live happily in this world. That's the only thing what that's not left us. So that is why it's spoken in different, all spiritual personalities will say this to us, that the desire to enjoy and desire to keep on doing what we have done so far, oh, the child's the child's birthday, so many birthdays we have seen now, isn't it? And so many people's birthday. Our birthday, 50, 60 birthday we have celebrated. Then we have celebrated birthday of wife's birthday, another 30, 40 birthday. Then and children's birthday. Another 30, 40 birthday that way also. So birthday after birthday in every year, for so many years we have done this birthday business. Then after that we have done the attended so many ceremonies related to death. Related to death. We have celebrated so many ceremonies after death. What they call Shraddha ceremony, this ceremony, that ceremony. So many ceremonies for so many people. All that we have done. Then we have gone and attended so many marriages in life. So many marriages, so much business with this marriage business. Everybody so busy, absorbed in that. Krishna is asking this question, in this whole falsity, it's all false, whole thing is false. We won't accept that now. Because if somebody says that, oh, if it's false, why is it like this? All this opposite question will come from us. But Krishna is telling us, this is bhakti. If you understand bhakti means accepting what Krishna is saying to us and accepting it wholeheartedly without any kim badram kim abhadram va, what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is false and all these things. So Krishna, the question here is, so many feasts we had, marriage feasts, so many birthday parties we had, birthday feasts, so many Shraddha ceremony, those feasts also we had. And still we are saying it's not finished yet. It's not yet finished. So, therefore, there is, Bhartrihari spoke about this in one of his, Bhartrihari was a very famous personality. Those who heard about Bhartrihari, if you have not heard about Bhartrihari, you can Google Bhartrihari and see about him, what he has. He was a great philosopher. A lot of Vikramaditya's court, like Kalidasa and many others, he was one of the powerful personalities. About his birth and everything, you can read them. It's a big story about Bhartrihari. Bhartrihari wrote this verse, you can read. Asha nama nadi manoratha jala trishna taranga kula. Then raga grahavadi vidarka vihaga dhairya dhruma dhumsini moha varta sudustaradi gahana protungana chintadi tasya paragada Vishuddha manaso nandandi yogishwaraha. This is the verse he has written in this, one of the Bhartrihari's famous verses. He says, Asha nama nadi. This flow of desires inside is continuously flowing like a river. What is that desire? Desire is this, that I have to keep on celebrating my life with all these birthday parties and marriages and Shraddha ceremonies and all that. All these things are our desires to fulfill. Some people, if you observe them, you ask them, they'll tell you how many marriages they have attended in their life. They get invited everywhere, they go everywhere. And the excuse they make is that if we don't go when we need the marriage, will they come? This way you can build that tree big. As big as you want. And that means you waste your time that day and you waste expecting that they will come for your marriage another day. This is all bogus things. It's all has no value at all. From spiritual point of view, all this is waste of time. But why he's saying here is, Asha nama nadi manoratha jala. the water that is flowing in this tree is Manoratham, isn't it? Manoratham means what we created in the chariot of mind. So many desires and those thoughts. Trishna Tarangagula. And in that water, that is the waves that's created inside the mind. Trishna Tarangagula. The Trishna desires inside. Suddenly it comes like a big wave inside in that river when it is flowing. Raga Grahavati Vitarka Vihaga. Raga Grahavati means in that process, we want to hold on to something. So many attachments we create in that process of flowing in this river. When the river is flowing, all other rivers have dried up. But this river is getting bigger day by day. Bhartrahari is saying to us, this river, what we are creating with our desires, that river never dries up. That river only gets bigger. Even Ganges will be drying up, but this river will not. It will get better, bigger. Raga Grahavati. There we want to hold on to something. Then what is more interesting is Vidarka Vihaga. Vidarka Vihaga means even if you tell them something about their situation, they will ask questions which are stupid. Stupid in the sense that some people will ask questions like this. That there is a question that Vidarka Vihaga. Vidarka means doubts. Vidarka Vihaga. Vidarka means nonsensical questions. Nonsensical questions. That even when we sit and listen in satsangam, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of nonsensical questions will come from that. These nonsensical questions are like this. That somebody has heard whole Bhagavad Gita. He has heard 18 chapters. There is a Bhagavad Gita Jnanayajnam. Talking about Srimad Bhagavad Gita from a great sannyasi, he was speaking. Loads of people were attending. After everything, 108 days or something it took to speak the whole Bhagavad Gita. After that, the question from... Some people asked, if you have any questions to ask. So one person, very important question he is asking. How could Krishna speak this whole Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield in such a short time? That was his question. This is the only question he had after hearing Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine? This is the kind of question, this is called that Vidarka Vihaga. Just for the sake of asking question, he's asking this. Does that matter whether it took 2 hours or it took 5 hours? Is that important thing? Is that what Bhagavad Gita is talking to us? Bhagavad Gita never talked to us in terms of time and space. Time and space is no value as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, isn't it? Such a more powerful and important message Krishna is giving to us through Bhagavad Gita. And the only question we have about Bhagavad Gita is how Krishna managed to do it in a couple of hours in the battlefield. How can he speak that in the battlefield? So in other words, this is called Vidarkam. Vidarkam means kind of nonsensical thoughts that's developing inside. It's not happening genuine inquiry. It is the nature of that mind inside, vidarkam. It creates, that's what he says here, raga grahavadi vidarka vihaga. And what does it do? Dhairya dhruma dhomsini. That is what this vidarkam will do. Say for example, you have a lot of courage. You are very determined. You are a dhira. You want to make some progress in spiritual life. You are determined to do that. And you are trying to develop spiritually, and people like this will come and put this question to you, and what they will do? Dhairya dhruma dhomsini. Whatever dhairyam, whatever courage you had inside, that they will try to destroy it by asking these kind of questions. Another question asked that was, how could Krishna marry 16,000 wives? How is that possible? So the sannyasi answered, you couldn't even marry one. And why you are asking this question, he says to him. So what else can you say to such people? These are the questions you get from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That means when you haven't got that spiritual drive inside to understand and inquire after the truth, we will give importance to these kind of things. This is not what is expected from us. Dhairya dhruma dhumsini. Moha varta sudha sudha asudha. Moha varta sudustaradhi gahanam. Protungana chintati chintatati. That. Then in addition to that, It creates all these desires which is flowing like a river. It creates various kinds of moham or delusions inside. Protunga chindatadi, that will come and create thousands of thoughts inside. Further, another thousands of tasya pragada vishuddha manaso nandandi yogishwaraha. That yogishwaras who have realized this properly, they will, first thing what they will do is tasya pragada vishuddha manaso, they will purify their mind and not allow their mind to fall into this trap, to fall into this trap. Because as you know that the that these are coming from, these questions are coming from false ego, hangaram, inside a person. Because if you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam with a spiritual mood, in a spiritual consciousness, this kind of questions can never come up. It can never come up. Because they are not relevant at all. This is not what Vaidyavyasa says. We are not trying to evaluate Krishna here in Bhagavad Gita. We are not trying to evaluate Sudeva Goswami in Bhagavadam. That's not our goal. That's not our business also. Our business is what these great souls have told us is to accept that and utilizing that make our spiritual life a success. That's what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is meant for. Whereas the attitude of many people is as soon as they get Bhagavad Gita, they try to evaluate Krishna, they try to evaluate Bhagavad Gita, and this is what goes on in all these places, in all these universities and everywhere. This is what they do. Then, so they have vidarka vihaga. They have no faith in Bhagavad Gita, they have no faith in Krishna, they have no faith in Shastram, nothing. And no Shraddha, no faith also. And at the same time, all these questions they have in their head. You can only say it's their misfortune. There's nothing you can do about it. And these are the people who conduct research with Bhagavad Gita. You know, people who do research with Bhagavad Gita. There's so many people who are doing research on Bhagavad Gita. And they see that research, Bhagavad Gita, we can do research and utilize it for various businesses to develop the management capacity or to develop their mental strength. Our own people are doing this. I'm saying this. Our own people do this research work with Bhagavad Gita. Acharya Swamiji said about this in a very nice way. He says if they can't get anything to do research, what they will say to each other is, look at that crow that's flying there. Let's find out how many teeth it has got. So they go and catch the crow, bring it and count the teeth in there. This is their misfortune, he says. He uses the word kagadanda pariksha rupaha. That's the statement in the Vivega Chudamani from Acharya Swamiji. Acharya Swamiji is kagadanda pariksha. How many teeth the crow has got? It's an important business. We have to know how many teeth. Krishna is saying complete thing is false. The whole thing is false. And you are busy with the experiment there. So, the thing to understand is, in spiritual life, we have a goal. The goal is self-realization. To get there, Krishna has given us certain clues to that. The instructions what to do in life, how to develop our, mold ourselves, our attitude and approach in such a way that we understand keeping the goal in focused all the time and take that message what is important for us to get there. Otherwise, that is the way to go in spiritual life. Otherwise, simply all the time experiment and research and trying to find out what is the truth, you will never get that truth. This truth is not meant to be found out in that way. This truth is meant by two things. One side accepting Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and taking the message from there. On the other hand, to support that, what Krishna is saying to us is sadhana, puja, dhyanam, upasana, all that things, what is required for developing that consciousness inside. Seriousness, shraddha, Krishna says as the most valuable thing. So, here, you will see here, gopis, Krishna also says here, that the sangaradova, sangavihinam, yogaradova, bhogaradova, sangavradova, sangavihinam, yasya brahmani, ramadejitam, nandadi, nandatyeva. This is a statement from Vajagovindam prayers again. That yogaradova, bhogaradova, in the life there will be sometimes yogam, sometimes there will be bhogam. It doesn't matter. Yogaradova, bhogaradova, sangaradova, sangavihinaha. Sometimes you have sangam, sometimes there will be no sangam. Satsangam may be there, sometimes there will be no satsangam. But one whose mind, yasya brahmani ramade chittam, brahmani ramade chittam, one whose consciousness inside is serious about spiritual realization, nandadi nandadi nandatyeva, that he will reach that goal without any question. That, so these kind of doubts and questions when people raise, you just have to leave them. You can't answer. There is no point in answering that question because the question is not coming from with a genuine interest behind it, genuine sincere desire to realize the truth. It's coming from the false ego. So that's why whether it's a yogi or a bogi, whoever it is, one whose mind is in Krishna, that he is pleased, that we have to open that gate. Where do we open that gate? That is the opening the gate inside towards the soul. So that is what Krishna is saying there. One who has opened that door inside and is moving inwardly, Almanyev Almanatushta, he will be situated on the spiritual platform. And if that Almanatushta, if it is inside, it will not go and start sticking to other things in the world outside. It will not go and start sticking to things outside, provided this Tushti, Almanyev Almanatushta, is inside. So once inward looking process starts, and when we start developing this attachment to the truth inside the soul and understand and trying to come to the platform of spiritual realization, Krishna is saying automatically the inquiry outside will stop. It will not happen anymore. And who is the best proof? Gopis themselves have recognized this. Idararaga vismaranam nranam. They say in the Gobiya Gidam, if you look in the Bhagavadam, you will see that Gobiya Gidam is the 30th or 31st chapter in the 10th canto. Gopis have, there are 19 verses in that. In then one of the verses, Gopis are saying, ever since we met Krishna, idararaga vismaranam nranam. In other words, as soon as we started understanding Krishna through the self-realization process, that's what it means. That the realization started developing inside, our attachment to everything else has left us, to the family members, our attachment to the to life even has gone away. Even to live in this world, even that desire has left us. That's why Gopi said, this is what Krishna is saying here, Almanyev Almanatushta. Though, so this will happen to anyone, but it can come through Jnana Margam, come through Bhakti Margam, doesn't matter. Somehow or the other, we have to get to that goal. That's why I say, Idararaga Vismaranam Nranam. That is the words what he has, what the gopis have spoken about. So, with that, we'll stop today and we'll continue with this tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.